Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
In a world of the Me Too movement, how did a king of R&B get away with mistreating and abusing women? This is Surviving R. Kelly. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Q. R. Kelly.
Oh my God.
Oh goodness.
I will never hear this the same way.
Hey, AfterBuzz fans, welcome to Surviving R. Kelly. I mean, wow.
It's a lot.
This is gonna be heavy. It's gonna be a lot. It's gonna be a journey.
Yes.
And the king of R&B, who once thought he could fly, may be sinking. So before we get into it, just as a refresher, I'm Elena, one of your hosts for tonight. You can follow me on all social platforms at @hey_lay.
And I am Keith Andre. You can follow me at @Keith_Andre.
So what are we getting into tonight?
A lot.
So much. This song, for one, was played at graduations.
Yes.
In church.
Yes.
Probably for baby showers.
Everywhere.
Like every single height of anything. And now you have this heaviness that has always been with his career following this song.
Yeah. And I will say that with that song, like my biggest memory, my little brother was maybe like 7 or 8 years old. And he would listen to it and just like cry. And it was like, oh my God, like you're so like into I Believe I Can Fly. And now it's just like, who knew?
So, I mean, okay, so what is our show going to get into tonight? We're going to go into how predators have a background.
Right.
We're going to go into why women stay, why they feel it's okay, kind
these
of how...
These women in particular.
Especially these women, how they kind of dismiss it and, you know, maybe think that it's the norm.
Right.
And then almost like how he got away with it.
He's been getting away with it for a long time.
We're in 2019. And here we have what some consider a legend, free.
Yes.
Gone through a trial back in the day for a situation.
Right.
Found not guilty. Is still making music. Is still touring. Mm-hmm. Has a plethora of women who have come forward about his mistreatment.
Yes.
His abuse. And yet he's still out there.
So many people don't want to believe it.
Woo, Chile. Like, guys, when I tell you, this is just...
There's, like, no way to take the edge off of it. You know, like...
Okay, so predators have a background. Let's get into what I do love about the premiere of Surviving R. Kelly. I think it was done in really good taste.
Yes.
I think it was done very well. And I say that because the docuseries didn't just start with us immediately attacking R. Kelly. It didn't start with these women coming forward with their stories. It started with the background of who he is and who he was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we got the opportunity to kind of pull from his experiences, how he grew up, which I feel most people can relate to if they grew up in the inner city or if they grew up in a black community, really.
100%.
So what was your takeaway, really, from his childhood, his upbringing?
Oh, yeah. So like you said, I think it was definitely done tastefully and like presented in true like docuseries, documentary form. I really appreciated hearing a lot from his brother. He pretty much, you know, was one of the major narrators and really letting us into his childhood. But there was so much that I didn't know about R. Kelly. I didn't know the whole thing about being molested. I didn't know how timid or shy he was growing up and being afraid to go outside. I mean, we knew about the not being able to read or write, but it's just all of those layers that make you see a person as human in spite of, which is good. Because I feel like from my background, like in acting, you always have to like figure out who the character is. You can't really judge it. Now, there is a point where you have to make a decision on what life you want to live or what type of person you want to be. But it is good to get that piece of the story as well.
I think it's interesting that both of his brothers were involved in the docuseries. And their role, like, because they're family, I feel like they are more credible.
Yes.
Getting into his spouse and et cetera later in the show. But I think the fact that you have family members, a part of this documentary, a part of this docuseries, speaking up about your character and about certain personality traits that you may or may not possess, that's a big deal.
Oh, for sure. And experiences, because his brother said that he shared some of those experiences. I mean, the bit about him coming to R. Kelly and telling him how he was molested and not being believed. So there's so much or so many shared experience that you have with siblings that do allow that credibility. And then to still see how honest he was about the situation when we did get down to the marriage and how he was interacting with women or keeping everything separate. Like, it's almost as if, hey, it's time to wake up and finally believe what people are saying.
I kind of want to get into that a bit, though, about the fact that R. Kelly, as a child, was timid, was shy, and he had an interview where he came out and said he was molested by a family member between 7 and 13.
Right.
The most interesting part about that is I feel like, as a community, if we already automatically believe that R. Kelly is a predator or he is an abuser, then hearing the interview about him being raped, we might not want to believe him immediately.
Believe him to be a predator, or believe that he was molested?
Believe that he was molested.
Okay.
So if we view him as his predator, you're the bad guy, you're evil, you're disgusting. When you come out and do an interview and tell the whole world that you have been molested, it's less likely that the community will believe you, not victim blaming or anything like that. It's almost like, but you're the bad guy.
Right. Which is interesting because it's almost as if that's the very reason we should believe you. Because it is learned behavior. I mean, he said even in that interview, there are things that you're taught that stick with you. And so I was really impacted by that, too. Even for him to be that honest and as honest, I guess, in a way he's been over the course of his career about sexual misconduct. But like I said, I think at a certain point, no matter what you've experienced, you have to decide, like, do I go this way or do I go with the devil's head?
Right. And no doubt, you know, right or wrong.
Right.
But being that he was able to say that he was molested between 7 and 13 early on in his career, because that was years ago when he admitted to that.
Yeah.
And then to hear his little brother, Carrie, also say, when I hear that, I believe him because that happened to me. So it was something in their home. It was something that started at home as a child.
Right. Which 9 times out of 10, you know, tends to be the case. And I think in large part in like a Black community, like where you have people who share kind of these experiences of like molestation or rape or violence.
Yeah. Learned behavior.
But everybody doesn't go on to be this type of person. I mean, no way does it excuse the man that he became to be, because clearly if you are insightful enough to have that type of conversation in an interview, then you know, like you said, right or wrong, like, what are we doing here? It doesn't excuse your behavior.
Yeah, I totally agree. So moving forward into his teenagehood, it's interesting to see. I do like that the docuseries had clinical psychologists speaking to kind of break down certain behavior. So two sides to that. Now, I don't want to be completely biased as a viewer because I do stand for women's rights. I do stand against any type of woman abuse. I do stand against any type of sexual abuse. I'm not for it. I don't. I don't sponsor the patterns. But I will say it's interesting that the clinical psychologists only worked against R. Kelly. That's the point of the show. That's the point of the docuseries. I get it. Of course, they're going to make it go that way. So when they were speaking, I love that they gave us input, but I also wanted to know the other side of it. Just how they gave us who he was as a child and how he may have developed to become who he is. I want that kind of unbiasedness.
Yeah, I think that's fair. They didn't really present that side of the psychology.
Right.
And that psychology is necessary. I mean, I definitely think it adds credibility and weight to it. So like you said, it was good to see the breakdown of it. But I mean, the point of the docuseries is to present him in this light, but they could have done it more unbiased and we still walk away just as impacted.
As angry, as hurt, as disgusted, as over it, as like, what can we do?
Chile.
What can we really do?
I mean, what can be done? I will say, I mean, when we got to learn of his like formative or teenage years and to see him have that type of switch. Now, they were very honest in sharing, like, so many people felt he was a genius or just so in sync musically and knew like that was the thing. That was the biggest piece of his personality that was compelling. But he went from being mild-mannered and timid to discovering music and then becoming aggressive and confident and talented and this genius. So I don't know. I also wonder, because we got to hear so many other voices, but there wasn't anyone like, hey, you kind of shouldn't be doing this. There really wasn't that presence. I don't think.
We heard from his music teacher.
Yes.
And she was very honest about saying, you know,
you
don't need to be fooling with young girls. You don't need to be talking like that. You're being aggressive. That's not like, it's not okay. And it's basically just trash.
It's inappropriate.
Like, stop. It's inappropriate.
Yes.
Cut it out.
Fair.
So we heard from her saying that, but we don't know who else his community before he got the fame, because the fame and him going onto the competition and winning the show with MGM is kind of what caused the switch from passive to aggressive.
Yes.
So they say in the documentary, but we don't really know who he was around. We don't know what his crowd was. We know that he had an experience of his own.
Yes.
Between 7 and 13. Mm-hmm. But then there are years between 13 and high school. So that was middle school.
That's true.
Before you get into high school, because he dropped out senior year.
Yes.
So he had all these years to become this man that he essentially was.
Yeah. And I think, too, I mean, we do have that missing piece of the puzzle with those years. But going on into, like, the launch of his career, people always tell us now, like, you know, you got to have somebody around you that's going to keep you down to earth and somebody around you that got to be honest or all these things. And he just had so many people that fell into his pattern or into the game that he played.
Yeah. So we're going to move on into the women. But before that, I think it's very... I want us to kind of tread with a mindset that he did have brothers. Like, he did have a mom who was a choir singer. He had some type of influence around. And his big brother, Bruce, the one that's in jail right now, was very clear about saying, we wanted our way with the girls. We had certain preferences. Mm-hmm. So when Bruce started saying that, I was like, okay.
Red flag.
Yeah, exactly. Like... Robert Kelly ain't the only one
by yourself.
with some issues. So that learned behavior, they kind of grew up together. The only one who kind of felt a little sincere and genuine was Carrie. And we hadn't heard much from him outside the childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that Bruce still spoke out throughout R. Kelly's life, but Carrie was only there for the beginning.
Yeah. And I think it'll be interesting to see what else to kind of come.
Yeah. So R. Kelly drops out of high school.
Child, and that was it. Signed with Jive Records.
Well, no, that don't make no sense. First of all, First of all, who drops out of high school just to go back and hang at the high school? Like, you about to be famous. Don't you want to get with some famous chicks? Granted, it may be a disease. It may be a pattern. It may be something that was developed from his molestation, from being raped. I get that. But who pulls him away? Who distracts him? Like, you busy. You trying to get money at this point.
He was trying to do a lot of things, I think. And I think, I mean, like with one of the psychologists that was just sharing, when it comes to being a victim, like a young victim of child abuse or molestation, it becomes that whole thing of the only way to be the victor is...
to have power over...
So you're going to do the behavior and be the molester. But like you said, I mean, you think as... gazing and eye-opening as fame and celebrity is, he could have done a million and one things. But that goes to kind of like, you know, how do we interact with pedophiles, or how do we interact with these members of society who, you know, from jump, they have that kind of pattern and that kind of behavior. They don't really want to be out kicking it at the mall or with famous people.
I want to keep a running line here. So if you're watching at home, definitely join in on this. As we go through this, the first two parts of the docuseries, mm-hmm. I want to know, at least from you, and I'll be honest also, how much of it you think are lies and how much of it you think is true.
From the documentary?
So from where we are right now, right now, all we really talked about was his early childhood.
Okay.
So do you feel like he did go back to the high school and hang around these young girls and pick them up, that he was molested? Granted, it's just our opinion. Mm-hmm. We don't know much but except for what we were shown, but I think you kind of get a sense. So if you're watching at home, just kind of let me know when did the switch flip on, okay, I really believe that this happened, or mm-hmm. this might be a little far-fetched.
I think that's fair. Let me give my disclaimer, too, because I am an advocate of women. I'm always going to stand with women. If she could be lying or not, that whole argument, I don't even participate in. Because mm-hmm. first and foremost, I feel like my duty is to stand with women. Now, having said that, there were moments watching where I was like, I don't know about this. I mean, we'll get to the second part with, like, songs and stuff, where it was like, it's a little hard to still... And all of this is a little hard to digest, honestly, because his music is the soundtrack to so many people's lives. I do, though, believe that he was riding around the high school picking people up only because he grew up mild-mannered and alone. He dropped out senior year. Mm-hmm. And so I do feel like, well, this is what he's known. You know, he's tied to the choir department, and... if he like young girls, where else you gonna get them? So I do believe and that's
the
be
only
true.
Reason I'm asking that is because, like, on social media, there's this big debate. Even while we were watching the docuseries, mm-hmm. there are people saying, "Well, innocent until proven guilty." Basically, R. Kelly is innocent because there are no hardcore facts outside of opinions from women who have come forward about being abused by him. And then there are the other half saying this has been a running theme since he was a child. And this has always been something that's followed his career, something that's followed his image. So it's true. So there's the two sides of it. So I kind of want to keep the temperature on where we stand on the sides of it.
That's a good idea.
I'm not a R. Kelly hater. I loved his music growing up. I didn't really understand it as much as I do now, as far as like all the songs that he came out with, the songs that I was singing that I had no business singing.
None at all.
So as an artist, just musically, respect him, love his music. However, I think he's a predator.
Agree. I can't participate. And I'm with you there. Like, as an artist, I'm the type of person, I don't believe that you can deny talent. That's just, I'm sorry. Right. That's where I stand with it. You can't deny talent. Brilliant. He has hits. He has music that has impacted the lives of so many people. Yes. And I'm not, you know, I do think that he is a predator. I do think at a certain point we have to, like, be honest with ourselves and what we believe and how we're going to move in the world. I will never, like, download. I never really was, I don't have a bunch of R. Kelly on my playlist.
I used to love him.
I mean, like, I Believe I Could Fly. I mean, he's worked with so many people. He done gospel.
The remix to Ignition. Like, I used to love him, okay? I knew all the words, so.
He can make music.
It's heartbreaking.
It is, but I think at this point, we do have, like, a certain responsibility to kind of, like, honor what we believe.
And we were introduced to Javante.
Yes.
We were introduced to Devante, background singer for R. Kelly, and, you know, she admitted to us meeting him at the age of 14.
Yes.
Which is hard. I mean, one thing I can say is in a high school environment, there are times where seniors are hanging out with freshmen, and the freshmen are 14, 15, and the mm-hmm. seniors are 17, 18, mm-hmm. maybe even 19, depending on how late they started, how late they didn't. So the fact that they had a friendship, like, she met R. Kelly through her friend Tiffany, the fact that they had that friendship and developed that friendship wasn't necessarily
alarming. Right.
It wasn't, like, hugely alarming, because that was his community. That was all he knew, mm-hmm. so it seems, based off of what we've seen. But then again, when they started getting closer, it got interesting. So one thing I loved is that almost every woman who have gone to speak forward, who have gone and spoke forward, starting with Javante, spoke very highly of him.
Yeah.
Had so much respect for him. Mm-hmm. Was like, oh, he was a great guy. He was sweet. He was genuine, gentle,
super
genuine.
Talented.
He was charming. He was talented. He knew that I wanted to be a singer. He brought me to the studio. Mm-hmm. He tried. So it's interesting to me that these women who have either witnessed abuse, so from Javante, we only know her as a standbyer or foreseer. So she didn't admit to anything
exactly
happening to her necessarily, but she's seen some things. She's right. been around some things. And then the other women have experienced these things firsthand, mm-hmm. but they still spoke so highly of him.
Right.
And that's what made that, I mean, if there was ever any doubt in my mind, that kind of turns the key into me believing them even more, because if I'm lying, I'm not about to sit and praise you.
Right.
I'm about to be like, he's trash. Like, you know, just try to bring you down and drag you down. Mm-hmm. But if I'm telling the truth, then I can say, when I met you, you were the most amazing man that I have ever met. Mm-hmm. And then it flipped.
At some point.
That's just where the truth comes in. But, child, Javante had some tea for us.
I mean, she had a lot to say. I really like her. She's a beautiful woman. At first, I was like, why they switch up the hair? I like the braids. Yeah. And then he gave it a ponytail. You know, I'm trying to keep track of who's who. But she had a lot to say. Now, do you believe everything that she said? Or did any of what she said give you pause?
I believe her to a certain extent. Again, because of who I am, I don't just take things and run with it. Mm-hmm. Especially being entertainment, you kind of know how show business works. You know how editing works. You know how you try to make a story. And not saying that these women are making a story, but if I'm going to do this documentary, if I'm producing it, then I need to sell it. I need to sell it at every point. So from her story, I believed about 90% of it.
Fair.
I believed about she seemed very genuine. She was very honest. She was very open. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. I can't say, yeah, she was telling the truth or she was lying when she was recalling instances about what she saw while she was in the tour bus or, right. you know, what he did when he was in the studio. I wasn't there.
Exactly.
And I'm not trying to use her words against her or victim shame in any way. I just personally don't know.
Yeah, and I agree. I don't know either. Like you said, we weren't there. And even if you were there, she was there. But, I mean, think about the way that the human mind even works and memory and recalling stuff. I'm not discrediting her at all. Like you said, I do believe a large part of what she said, but still to try to remain unbiased and take, you know, just experience this, the weight of this whole surviving R. Kelly piece.
Let me say, though, the tears... Now, as viewers, we can kind of sense when something's being acted out, mm-hmm. when something's being forced, or when it's really coming from the heart. I felt that every tear she cried had purpose,
yeah.
had meaning, had hurt, like pain. I felt that.
100%.
I felt that with her. So though I'm saying I only believe her, like 90% of it, because I can't recall the instances, mm-hmm. I still believe she has witnessed some things.
Oh, of course.
She has seen a lot of things go down.
I mean, how could she not? And I think some of the things I question are like with the insight of Aaliyah. So I do want to know if you believe, well, we can wait till News and Gossip to get there. But I mean, she was just saying things that naturally, if it was regular people talking, I would be like, oh, you sound like a hater. When yeah. you're like, oh, she didn't have no swag and we had to do this. And so it's like, okay.
So Aaliyah came up. So Aaliyah's in the picture at this point.
Yes.
Yeah. And according to Javante, they were very close.
Right.
Which also kind of, which is where I don't know, because if we only have her side of it. We don't have Aaliyah's side to be like, mm-hmm. oh, we weren't that close. So I only know her side.
Of course.
Still valid, but I only know her side. But her and Aaliyah were super close. And
right. Aaliyah was 12. They had to show her the ropes.
They had
to put some clothes on her. They said the girl didn't have no swag. She did clean it up and say, well, she was 12, so she didn't have swag. But, you know, that type of thing is like, oh, okay, well.
Mm. But because when she said that, I was like, she had no swag? All I seen is swag from Aaliyah. What?
You can't make that swag up.
What?
You can't. So she did say, you know, she took off the pretty clothes and she dressed like a tomboy. So those type of things is like, okay, what? How much of this is accurate? But I don't know. I mean, she said she saw some things in regard to Aaliyah and R. Kelly, mm-hmm. which the world is going to continue to disagree over.
Well, so to be very honest, when their whole relationship was happening, we didn't know if they were friends or whatever the case may be. They were very close. Mm-hmm. And even the interview that they showed on the docuseries, the way that they were answering questions and deflecting, like trying to keep us guessing, fine, I get that. Let's give them something to talk about, whatever. Right. It wasn't that that made me question R. Kelly and Aaliyah's relationship. It was the way she spoke. It was the way she, like, smiled. She was like, yeah, like, he's my best friend in the whole world.
Right.
It felt like it was more.
Of course. And I think it's almost natural for it to feel that way. You have a girl who is between 12 and 14 in that point with a grown man. I mean, to be young is to fall in love with anybody.
And the whole secret marriage.
Which I feel like they rushed over that. It's like we came back from break and the marriage was annulled and he paid $100.
They got married. Well, the reason they did is because there's no facts to it. Like, I mean, granted, we kind of knew they had a short marriage.
Right.
But outside of that, there wasn't much you can say, especially with Aaliyah's image out there and Aaliyah being deceased.
About to say, Lifetime is not trying to get...
You can't say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then they were annulled and he gave her mama $100. I think that was a mistake.
For him to give up $100 or for the mama to accept $100?
For him to give $100 for Aaliyah and the family not to, like, press charges or file any claims and et cetera against him.
I mean, I know $100? Times are different, but he was definitely low-balling the women that he had to pay off.
I'm about to accept $100 from my daughter that... $100?
But that could have been, if we're good friends and, all right, we have to put something on paper. I got to pay you something so that... it doesn't come back. Can we agree on $100?
$100?
Yeah, that's true.
If you love me, even as a friend, you're not about to give me $100. Let me just say that. Clearly, I'm going somewhere else, but I'm just saying. And even on the family's behalf. So the reason that they got annulled so quickly was because, like, you know, the family was just, like, not having it. Mm-hmm. You're not about to accept $100?
That's just crazy to think. But that goes to where there is just so much that we do not know.
Yeah.
There's just so many layers to it to where you can only kind of take the solid pieces and run with that.
How about the AJ Nothing But A Number song? Now, that was one of the songs that I was singing that I had no business singing. That was one of the songs.
You know the meme going around, I was today years old
when I found out. When you found out what?
I mean, I knew about AJ Nothing But A Number, but just to see that paired with, like, the lyrics and, like, their whole situation.
Stop.
Ooh,
it was the talk of town when I was like,
I knew it was the talk, but I don't know why. I just didn't really grasp, like, how, like, no, he wrote this song because this is what he was trying to do.
I mean, he was such a, when they talk about him being a musical genius, he was so smart in the fact that, one, she is young. So the fact that she's singing songs like this and she has this mature vibe and she developed this swag, yeah, I'm telling you that as an artist, AJ ain't nothing but a number.
Right.
So it could go for just her. But for sure, relationship-wise, this younger girl's asking for this older guy. I remember being in my kitchen when I was younger, singing this song in a deep freezer because I was playing it from the radio.
Come on, deep freezer.
The radio was on top of the deep freezer. And I remember saying, I remember feeling some type of way, like, because I was singing to the top of my lungs. And then a part of me was like, well, no.
What are you actually talking about?
Age kind of matters.
Yes.
And then it was interesting for them to bring up in the docuseries that age being nothing but a number is kind of something that's really big in the Black community. That a lot of guys, if they see a fine woman and he's younger, he'd be like, man, what's up? Like, age ain't nothing but a number.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
Right. That and that they brought up the way that it impacts the music industry.
Yeah.
You know, they had so many names that has dealt with younger women.
It was just...
But I didn't know, too, just the way that all of his songs, like, allegedly
tied to
like these crazy, like, grotesque situations.
Just ridiculous. And we're introduced to Lizette, who he met at Aventura. Now, I'm from Miami, so I used to be at Aventura a lot.
Oh my gosh.
I ain't never see R. Kelly, just saying. I wouldn't have said hi, but just saying. But to go from her saying, you know, being starstruck over this guy, to being in the position that she was in, to miscarrying, to developing the disease, to being paralyzed for 2 weeks.
To having him write, "You Are Not Alone" from Michael Jackson because she had a miscarriage.
So are you trying to tell me you didn't believe that? Is this a check-in moment?
I'm just saying, y'all, it's difficult to really kind of like go there. And that could be just like me protecting my own like bias or creativity, but it's I'm not saying, I don't want to say I don't believe her, but it's just like, wow. You know, some facts that you learn from entertainment just be like, I'm gagging right now.
Yeah. The fact that he was with her for a year before she found out that he was married, that was also just interesting to me because this is a very public man. And obviously we have much more access to celebrities nowadays than they had then.
Oh,
we can track their every moment where they couldn't. So it's very likely she had no idea. He kept his world separate, according to Andrea.
And I also thought, or one thing I also thought was really interesting is that, so when we got to Lizette, we did see a difference in age because she was 17 years old. This is the first time we're introduced to somebody that's older.
Right.
And so to see somebody of that age kind of have fall into this place of like unknown. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I am probably one of the most inquisitive people you will meet. Mm-hmm. I need to know what's going on. I'm asking a lot of questions.
But everybody not like that. Right. Not with somebody that you admire.
For sure.
And you look up to. It's like, oh my gosh, you're taking interest in me. Especially Lizette wanting to be a singer, him bringing her to the studio, coming in for a kiss. It's like, I really don't want to be kissing you, but I'm not trying to get in the way of my opportunity. It was just so many factors.
Yeah.
And then as a woman, when you already know that you can be overpowered, you don't want to get nobody angry. You don't want to get it to a point where it's forceful. So you're just like, all right.
No, let me say, I completely understand. No, as like a black gay man, I've had experience to where I get it.
Yeah.
You know, where you're dealing with people and you are taught or you learn just to move in a certain way to avoid like confrontation. So that makes sense. But it was just, it was like we literally went from 12 and 14 year olds to a 17 year old, like young woman, where you probably would expect somebody younger to behave that way. I get the reason that she did and how you can get sucked in to like being flued out and you know what I mean, like
what today is. I kind of want to get into Andrea's story a bit because really she, in my opinion, she has the most weight
and she shed so much light
on her story. She was married to this man for 10 years. She has children with him.
So I didn't know they had kids.
What? Well, they didn't talk about the kids for the docuseries, but yeah, they. So I'm in love with her, and I think that I got more into her story from Hollywood Exes.
Yes,
she was on Hollywood Exes, so I kind of got to see her because prior to that, she hadn't spoken.
You didn't really know
in public a lot, which also just makes my heart break because even still, she's been through so much stuff that she admitted to not even wanting to talk about. Oh my God, I'm getting emotional. That's insane.
It's a lot.
She sat there and said, there are still things that I'm not willing to talk about because of the darkness, because of where I was, because of the disbelief. So as a woman to go through certain situations, and I've seen it. I've seen strong black women fall victim to abuse.
Yes.
Like, and they know better.
Right.
They know that I shouldn't be in this situation. They know that it's wrong, but they stay. And they try to fight it, and they try to overcome it, and they even try to overpower the man.
Right.
And they have kids involved. Like, I've seen it firsthand, so that just gets so depressing to hear her say that she's still in a place. Like, at this point, I'm doing a docuseries about the abuse that this man has put me through.
And I still
can't tell you. And I'm still not going to tell you this. I'm not trying to beat you down. I'm not trying to tear you down. All I'm doing is telling my story.
Yeah.
That literally, like, just... How is he not being punished for any of the things that he's done?
It's devastating. I mean, it is devastating. But two, I think that's why there is like this kind of call to action, especially I mean, it sheds so much light on like a black community and just how these are the things that go overlooked so often from people who have nothing.
I think it was Javante that said no one cares because it was happening to black girls.
Yep, no one cared because we were black girls. That's exactly
so
what she said.
So it was like, how did we get here? How did we get to 2019 and he's gotten away with all this mistreatment, all of this abuse, all of the peeing in the mouth kind of situations? How did we get here? And I wonder, because as a black woman, if I am mistreated, if I am abused, does my voice not matter as much?
I think people are overwhelmingly willing to look past people they admire. I have a girl that I work with She just had a baby. She's a homeowner. She's engaged, black, young, in love with R. Kelly. He can do no wrong. She ain't believing nothing. I was like, please, girl, watch the docuseries. Watch AfterBuzz. And, like, kind of, people just are so, and I don't know how you can watch something like this and not have any connection to,
and still feel like, no, he's completely innocent.
Right.
There has, like, okay, so we all heard the saying behind, what's the saying?
I don't know. Every straw.
There's some smoke behind a fire, or behind every fire, some kind of smoke. I forget the saying, but it's something like that. Basically, okay, where there is some type of rumor, there is something that led to that rumor that is true.
Like, every joke got some truth to it.
Like,
there's some pieces that are credible.
Exactly. So whether someone feels like he's completely innocent or not, it's no way that multiple women for years, this has been decades long. Do you know how old I was when I started hearing about his allegations?
Listen.
This has been decade long trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you what really got me. The surprise wedding that he popped up on. He done gave her a surprise wedding and thought he was doing it. Like, boom, baby, look at this.
I mean,
sir, the manipulation.
The proposal, I was like, okay, I guess that's kind of cute. Like, parachute ring. But then you get to a surprise wedding. And then all of the other things that she talked about. I mean, because I think when people hear, like, oh, so-and-so was locked up, you think you have to be locked with the key behind a door. But to know that she had to knock and ask, can I come down and get something to eat?
Can I use the restroom? Lizette even said I had to ask for permission to use the restroom. I got slapped for looking at somebody that I shouldn't be looking at because I'm only supposed to look at you. Like, what?
But those are the things. Like, that type of domestic violence and abuse is the thing that is always, like, overlooked.
And then you have women like Sparkle, who, so strong.
Yes.
Will not tolerate the BS. Even if he says no one can speak to her or say hi to her, she's still going to do what she's going to do because it's like, you don't control me.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of saw his manipulation. She kind of saw that side of him, but still insisted on introducing her niece to this man. And I get it. He was shaping her career. That song that they have together, I know all the words.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Like, it's popping. So, yeah, I want you to put my niece on because at the end of the day, this is going to feed our family. But I would not. I'm sorry.
I can't imagine being privy to how he acted with the world and with other women and introducing and feeling or just thinking that, oh, she with me, so she's good.
I can't even imagine how Sparkle feels because she broke down saying I should have never introduced my niece to him. And she's carrying that weight.
She will probably carry that. Who knows how long you have to carry something like that. I thought they did a really good job just as far as an entertainment piece, like putting that story together with us finding out from Lisa.
From Lisa Vent, yeah.
That Sparkle's niece ended up being a girl on
that they were having threesomes with. And Lisa, obviously, we're going to get more into her on part two, but Lisa was interesting. So we got to find out about the threesomes from her tonight and how she thought that sex with a 16-year-old was okay, but when she found out that the girl was actually 14, her heart sank.
Right. Well, and I don't know that she thought it was okay, but I think that, you know, being involved in abuse and being exposed, because she did say there were moments where he wanted her to do this or have sex here, and she's crying on camera. So I don't know that she thought it was okay, but
well, I love that she admitted to also having some wrong, but
right.
So she was like, I played a part. I also had
and
sex with this
child. I think
that
she was probably one of the only so far women who kind of held that type of accountability for themselves. A certain part of her knew what she was doing.
Right. So, goodness gracious, we're running out of time. Let's get into some news and gossip about the docuseries before we have to wrap this up.
Ooh, Chile.
Because it's so much. Like, it's so much drama. Like, first of all, off the rip, from the premiere in NYC, what happened?
So, premiere in NYC, everybody's ready to have this premiere. Quiet as it's kept.
Uh-huh.
Somebody called and said somebody was there with a gun.
And they
gonna
shut the premiere down.
They had to shut it down. R. Kelly's camp, allegedly. I don't know. But somebody said, oh, no, not on my watch. This is not happening.
And then we have this morning, Brian Nix, R. Kelly's lawyer, right, saying that if Lifetime does air this show tonight, they're going to sue. I'm waiting to see the papers filed. I mean, he says that it's going to be defamation because the show is filled with all lies. Mm-hmm. But you can't. I'm so proud of Lifetime for being a network that speaks on behalf of women, that yes. puts their stories out there. I love them for that.
Right. And Lifetime, I mean, I don't know that their still slogan is, but I remember it was television for women.
Exactly. Then we have the story that Javante gave about seeing R. Kelly and Aaliyah having sex in the tour bus. We have Aaliyah's mom who came out with a statement basically saying, those are lies. That didn't happen.
We was on the tour bus.
We were with her every step of the way. Impossible. And then, so that puts us viewers in a position like, okay, well, did she see them having sex? Or is the mama telling the truth? Does she not want her daughter to be dragged?
I don't know. Which one is it? There is still a possibility that she has sex with that man on the tour bus. Right. Because even if your parents was there, they might have been sleeping.
She said they used to sneak out. She said they used to sneak out and sneak Aaliyah other places.
Yeah. And there's only so much that y'all were doing because she got married to the man at 15.
Right. And of all the voices we heard tonight, there was only two big celebrities, John Legend and Wendy Williams, that we heard from. Mm. John put out a tweet because so many people were praising him for still speaking up, even though he had the certain height of his career, because there are artists like Jay-Z, Lady Gaga, Dave Chappelle, Lil' Kim, Erykah Badu, Questlove, Mary J. Blige, others that denied speaking on the docuseries at all.
Right.
Which is, I mean, I get it. You don't want, it's not that you're standing for him.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to be mixed. You don't want to be in the mix.
Yeah, it's too messy.
Don't be soiled with it. But now I think there's going to be a certain level of, like, responsibility because we want to know. And even, too, you can come forward like Wendy, but I know on her show, she has talked about a conversation that she will never share details that she had with R. Kelly.
Yeah.
So she's on here, but there's only so much that she's given up. There's only so much tea that she's willing to share.
There's going to be another 2 hours of this docuseries that we get tomorrow night.
I cannot.
I mean, we really just have to get ready because I feel like this was just the intro. And now it's the bag of worms are just going to start coming out.
I didn't know what to expect.
I didn't either. I have to digest it a bit.
I think they've definitely set a tone and kind of knowing where to go. But it's a lot to kind of like deal with. And then to deal with social media tomorrow too. Yeah. It's just going to be like,
Well, we want to hear your thoughts. We want to know what you thought. So make sure that you are commenting. Make sure that you're using the hashtag Surviving R. Kelly and AfterBuzzTV. You can also connect with me on all social media platforms at @Hey_It's Lay.
That's right. You can follow me on all social media at @Keith_Andre. Let's get the Twitters going. Let's get into some conversations.
We'll see you guys back here on AfterBuzzTV for night 2 of Surviving R. Kelly.
Later.
Buzz you later, After fans.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.